England!
Isn't it wonderful?
We got through to the final.
Brilliant. Through to the final. Excellent. England!
You do know it's podcast 450, right?
Yeah.
Anyway,
England!
England! England!
Welcome, welcome, dear listeners, one and all, to this, the latest in a long line of Staggering Stories podcasts. I'm Crumbly.
I'm Fake Keith.
I'm Adam.
And I, yes, I have a hurt foot.
Why do you have a hurt foot?
Because you punched it.
That was your toe, it wasn't your whole foot.
But when they scored, you attempted to attract my attention, rather enthusiastically.
And painfully.
You had your toe next to me, I was happy, your toe got punched.
Could have been bitten off, could have been worse.
Exactly. Look on the sunny side.
Mm-hmm. Of life.
Generally.
It could have been something else.
On the last podcast, I introduced myself as Karen because I'd fallen out with Fake Keith, but we've made it up now.
Oh, good.
So
you're back together.
We're
again
back together
now.
Again now. Oh, yeah, okay. Yeah.
Roller coaster.
Oh, it is.
You fell out with yourself.
I did. Yes. Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. I have to live with her.
Don't have so, to.
You think you've got it now? No, I've got to.
What's the old poem? Roses are red, violets are grey. I'm schizophrenic, and so am I.
That's the one. Yeah, right. I believe I wrote that. Mm-hmm.
Yep. Anyway, without further ado, runners up besides, it's the news with El Presidente. Woo-hoo!
Doctor Who news.
Oh, yeah.
With Tarka to give oral pleasure.
Pardon?
That's
pardon?
Just wrong. Adam, you bastard.
Works for me.
Yes, I bet it does. The 13th Doctor and Yaz are back in audio form. Yes, those audio mongers at Big Finish have tempted Jodie Whittaker and Mandeep Gill to reprise their fairly recently departed characters for a set of 12 audio plays. Mm. Whittaker said in her inimitable Yorkshire accent.
Oh, blimey.
Come on.
Is it?
Yorkshire accent.
I'm over Took Moon to be joining Big Finish. For more adventures in TARDIS, recording 13th Doctor and Yaz is a really lovely thing to revisit. One of the things Mandip and I used to love on Doctor Who was getting in, doing a new episode and meeting a brand new cast. I can't just wait to step back in Took boots, pull on Took coat and get cracking. One thing's for sure, it's going to be brilliant.
I'm just picturing Seth from Emmerdale.
Yeah. There's the last of the summer wine going on over here.
That's so wrong. Big Finish are abandoning their box set approach, so these 12 single disc stories will be released individually, as opposed to the four sets of three we've been used to with the likes of Eccleston's releases. The run will begin in July 2025, with each CD going for £12 or £10 on download only. We also have news of the laggard final part of last year's less than impressive 60th anniversary series, Once and Future. Coda, the final act, will see the Big Finish debut of Jo Martin as the Fugitive Doctor, alongside Jonathan Carley's young War Doctor and Lisa Bowerman as Bernice Summerfield. This November title will then lead into the even tardier Fugitive Doctor audio series, as announced over 2 years ago. This is now expected to begin in January.
Yep. I want to go to a convention with Nicholas Briggs in.
Right.
Just to ask him the question, what it was like dealing with Jodie Whittaker and Mandip Gill in the same... Because they are both very professional actresses and can do wonderful work. It's just that I've seen them together, left to their own devices.
It's a good job he's got no hair already.
Yeah. They are kept in their own booths.
Yeah. Oh. But they
in
can
the picture,
see each...
In the marketing picture, he's got a hat on. Is this because he's down to the bone now?
As I said,
he's turning into Morbius.
They might be in the same booth, but they can see each other through the window. I just have visions of them pressed up against the glass, blowing their lips out, going... So you were painting your own mental picture.
Yes.
They are very close.
Doctor Who season 25 goes blue.
Yes.
Ooh. Hottish on the heels of Doctor Who the Collection season 15 on limited edition Blu-ray. If 4 months can be considered hottish, we now know that the next classic Doctor Who season will be getting tarted up, and it's Sylvester McCoy's season 25. This was McCoy's second season in the role and the penultimate season of Classic Who. It features the stories Remembrance of the Daleks, The Happiness Patrol, Silver Nemesis and The Greatest Show in the Galaxy. There are plenty of special features to be had, including the likes of Behind the Sofa, three in-conversation interviews with Sophie Aldred, Andrew Cartmell and director Chris Clough. The Doctor Who Escape Room with Sylvester, Sophie and Bonnie. Toby Hadook is looking for Dursley. Finding out about Dursley McLinden, who played Mike in Remembrance, this includes discussions with RTD and many others. Sophie chatting with Leslie Dunlop from The Happiness Patrol and Frontios. Also, special editions of all four stories, in addition to the TV versions, updated special effects on Remembrance, 5.1 audio, etc., etc. The 8-disc set is currently slated for the 21st of October.
Mm. It was a pretty good season, wasn't it?
Not bad. Yes. It started off very well.
I've got to admit, I am looking forward to this one, if only for the special features they're going to slap on Remembrance.
Yeah.
Yeah, and they put out the trailer, of course. Yeah. They haven't done a specially recorded scene this time.
No, but...
But it does look really quite good what they've
done in store. But I had noticed that they seem to have used linking footage that was recorded at the time for Silver Nemesis. That I haven't actually seen anywhere else.
Yeah, yeah.
I don't recognise that piece between Sylvester and Sophie.
Yeah, and it's clearly of the time. It's not recent. Yeah. Yeah. I think there's only about 5 colour seasons left now.
Yeah.
Then they've got to start dealing with the other 5 black and white ones they haven't looked at yet.
Yeah.
They've only got 1 black and white box set so far.
Comic-Con. Mm. Doctor Who and Star Trek. Team up! Woo! Mm. San Diego will shortly be hosting countless sci-fi weirdos, and 2 of those will be Russell T and Alex Kurtzman. RTD will be there to represent Doctor Who, and Kurtzman will be appearing as Star Trek's Big Cheese executive producer. Together, they will appear on a panel to celebrate Intergalactic Friendship Day on International Friendship Day. That sounds a bit hokey to me, but never mind. With Paramount in the process of being acquired by, or strictly speaking, merging with Skydance, and Doctor Who currently sitting in the Disney camp, we can assume this isn't a prelude to crossovers. Also, San Diego Comic-Con, we have Doctor Who back in the mighty Hall H for a panel featuring RTD, Shuti Gatwa and Millie Gibson, talking about the recent season and no doubt getting in an early trailer for Moffat's up-and-coming Christmas special.
Ooh.
It is interesting, because they are held by 2 different corporations.
Yeah.
I think we've only had one, to my knowledge, example of a corporation mix-up, which was Roger Rabbit.
Yes, we had.
Different corporations, but...
Disney and Warner Brothers, wherever, all the different...
But I do know Russell T has gone on record that certainly during his first run, he wanted to do a crossover between Who and Star Trek Enterprise, which was showing at the same time.
Yeah.
So are you suggesting that he's going to get Alex Kurtzman raging drunk and chuck a contract under his pen?
I think that there may be certain spitballing and behind-the-scenes conversations and maybe what-ifs that would plant seeds.
If we end up with some sort of crossover that started with 2 drunkards saying, watch this, I've got a good idea, then no.
Isn't that how all... crossover start.
I think so. Because we did have The Doctor and the Enterprise, the graphic novel.
Yeah, that was the IDW. 80s, wasn't it? IDW comic. Yeah.
It's fairly. It isn't during the Matt Smith era. Yeah. There was a crossover with Star Trek.
No, before that, because there was a blue book.
That was a fan one.
That was purely
fan, and somebody managed to get it independently published.
Oh, fair enough.
But there was a graphic novel by IDW, who happened to own both licenses at the time, Next Gen, Borg, Doctor 11, Amy, Rory and Cybermen.
Okay. Yeah.
There was a bit of a hint of the 15th Doctor saying, I should take you to meet those guys. But it's unclear if he was joking or not, because Star Trek has come up as a fictional thing in
Doctor. We'd have had Show Me More Spock.
Yeah. So, but I can't see it.
Paramount and Disney
working together. Right?
I am a sad little man, and I think it would be fun. But
any addendums?
Well, he's nicked one of my addendums, which was the Star Trek crossover.
Then it wasn't an addendum, was it?
But I do have another addendum.
Tell us your addendum.
SDCC, San Diego Comic Con, nightmare hotel situation could push the Comic Con out of San Diego. If you've never attended it, you've probably heard now how hard it is to get a hotel for the event. Yeah. Every year, fans enter an online lottery, which has been dubbed Hotelocalypse. But apparently, because it's so common and has happened so many times, the hotels in San Diego are beginning to gouge. They specifically up their prices over that weekend. The powers that be are considering
Cricklewood. San Diego Cricklewood.
Not the Cricklewood Comic Con.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, the CCC.
Yeah, the CCC, yeah.
Cricklewood Comic Con.
Yeah, I did go to Hall H for a different event, and I didn't stay at a hotel, I went to an Airbnb. There aren't that many hotels around, I don't think, not really.
I'd like to see a Galaxy Quest convention.
You just want to see if a spaceship will land in it.
Yeah.
They do exist. They have happened.
Yeah.
And why don't they have something like Glastonbury, have huge areas for tents?
Well, San Diego is not much in the way of free area, free space there.
So what you're suggesting is Burning Man Comic Con.
We could hold it in the desert. They could hold it in the desert. Yeah. When is Burning Man?
I don't know.
Because could one go in as the other's coming out, or vice versa?
No. There you go. We've solved the world's problem.
That's it.
The desert is a big place.
It is. It is indeed.
And hot.
And that's the end of the news. Right, we've reached the end of Shooty's first season.
Indeed.
So we're going to talk about it now. Here is Doctor Who. What was the music? Shall we start simply here?
Okay. Yep.
Let's put the episodes in order. Oh. Our favourite to our least favourite.
Oh, blimey.
Hang on, I need a clip.
Tucked.
She's got it tucked
in her bra. Okay.
It's all warm.
Is it moist?
No. Are your nipples wet? Okay, we have made lists.
We're Doctor Who fans. Of course we've made lists.
Ranking.
We are ranking the episodes of this season in reverse order.
Oh, reverse? Oh, God, hang on. I've got to just redo this.
Just turn the paper upside down. Okay.
I can't read it. It's upside down.
And we're going to start with our least favourite, go all the way up to our favourite, and then we're going to talk about it.
Okay.
I'll start.
Go on.
My least favourite episode of the season was Space Babies.
Oh. The stinkiest of stinky is Empire of Death.
Ooh.
Space Babies.
Crumbly.
Space Babies.
We've got a triplet of Space Babies. Okay, next I've got Rogue.
Space Babies.
Ooh.
Empire of Death.
Boom.
Boom,
then
wow.
At number six I've got Devil's Cord.
A Rogue.
Now, I'm thinking outside the box. I have a tie here. Rogue or Devil's Cord. But, as you insist, I'm going to go for Devil's Cord.
You did that quite quickly. I'm impressed how quickly you did that.
Thank you.
73 feet.
What about 73 yards?
And that as well.
Okay. At number five, I've got Empire of Death.
Ooh, the Devil's Cord.
Rogue.
Rogue.
At number four. He's copying you, isn't he? At number four, I've got 73 yards.
The leg end of Ruby Sunday.
Again, joint. Dot and Bubble and 73 Yards, but you insist.
I do.
So I'm going to have to give it to Dot and Bubble.
Fair enough.
Dot and Bubble.
Mm-hmm. At number three, I've got Boom.
Dot and Bubble.
73 Yards.
The Devil's Called.
Number two, I've got Dot and Bubble.
73 Yards.
Boom!
Legend of Ruby Sunday.
And my favourite of the season was Legend of Ruby Sunday.
Ooh, boom!
Legend of Ruby Sunday.
Empire of Death.
Okay.
We have quite similar there with just a couple of obvious...
Yeah, a few glaring.
Yeah, we seem to have not enjoyed Space Babies.
No.
I'm not saying the case of I didn't enjoy it. I do think it's the weakest of the season.
So do I, because let's say the show is aimed at children, young teenagers.
Mm-hmm. The show is aimed at children and young teenagers.
Thank you. They're at the age where babies are just annoying, so that puts them off. Then for old farts like us who watch anything, that just put us off.
Yeah,
we could have put up with the bogey monster. That was really good, but it was just the babies.
My whole impression of that was what the
odd choice for the first one.
I think it's an odd choice for the third one. It didn't put me off. I didn't think what the. I just don't think there was enough story there. I think it was weak. I don't think there's anything bad about it, per se. It's just that it was weak.
It would have been a good mid-run filler.
Agreed.
Yeah. Maybe. Yeah. If you were going to go for it, it should have been shown later in the season. Yeah.
Quite frankly, I think they should have put Space Babies and Devil's Cord split up later in the season.
Yes.
So we didn't have two weird as heck things sort of side like, by side.
Space Babies, maybe episode 3.
And then Devil's Cord, maybe 6 or something.
Yeah.
But what would you put first, though? It's tricky. You could put Boom first, potentially.
Yeah, I think Boom.
You at least have both the characters in it.
Yeah.
But 73 Yards and Dot and Bubble, you can't really put either of those first.
No, they were, unfortunately, Dr. Light.
Two Dr. Lights.
But I think you could have put Boom first, because it's a self-contained story. It's not really linked to anything else.
Yeah.
The only thing in there is the ambulance, them recognising the ambulance. Yeah. But you could jiggery-pokery that.
Yeah. Likewise, Rogue, you probably wouldn't want to put too early either. You need to know the Doctor a bit more before. Otherwise, you assume he's like, oh, that's just his character. It's not. He's unusual.
Yeah.
But there were a couple of crackers this season.
Oh, yeah. Most of us have got likes of Boom, 73 Yards, Dot and Bubble fairly high up.
Yeah. Oh, Dot and Bubble was outstanding.
I mean, the thing was with Space Babies, I mean, to me, it got the series off on the wrong foot for me, unfortunately.
Yeah, agreed.
Being a fan from early to mid-80s, Doctor Who was a bit of a laughing stock.
Yeah.
When I was in school.
Yeah.
And that still sits for me now, and I see an episode like that, and you fear, oh, God, is everything going to turn against it?
Yeah.
There was shades. I know it is political satire, and in retrospect, but there were shades of Happiness Patrol. You know, when you first watched Happiness Patrol, it's all studio-bound. You've got the...
dressed in pink.
Yeah, the pink. Mr. Sweet.
It's Candyman.
I would have placed the Happiness Patrol above Space Babies.
Yes.
So why your favourite? Why?
My favourite episode? Why? Well, as I said in previous podcasts gone by, when I were allowed...
No, you've already ruined the Yorkshire accent. You're not to do it again.
Sorry.
Apologise to Miss Wataka.
My apologies, Miss Wataka. As to say, bringing back a major villain from the classic era, I think that was a major coup, that was.
Yeah,
I mean, especially Sutak, who only appeared in one episode.
Yeah.
One story.
What did you think of the redesign?
Full-blown, so up to 11 Egyptian gods,
It's absolutely amazing, and I've loved, as we said before, I've absolutely loved the memes that have come out of it.
Admittedly, there were a couple of times when Sutak was clinging to the TARDIS, he did remind me of a rather big fruit bat.
Pretty much. Wings.
One of the one of my most favourite memes I've seen out there is the TARDIS on its back with a very black Snoopy-like Sutek sitting on top of it.
I'll have to have a look at that.
Yeah, I thought Dot and Bubble was something special. It was just such a clever way of doing it. And you start to invest in this character, this young woman. You're right, okay, you're clearly some sort of influencer type entitled What's It?
Just an airhead.
You know, yeah. That's the world you're in, but you must be a good person underneath. And then she turns out to be an absolute psycho.
Yeah. Yeah. So this is the character we're following, so this is our hero for this story. Yeah.
Yeah. And she did well. Up until
a point. Yeah. I mean, I must admit, when we reviewed this episode, I hadn't seen the end of it. But when I did, it left a rather nasty taste in my mouth.
Yeah, it meant to.
And like I said to myself, I'm ashamed that I didn't notice any of it until the denouncement.
Yeah. The Doctor can take on many forms, but, I mean, that is the first time I've actually seen the Doctor experience pure naked racism.
Yeah.
Oh, we mentioned that. He experienced it with Bill. When he punched out that Lord. Guy. Yeah.
Yeah, but it was somewhat played for laughs.
But, it wasn't him who experienced it. He was angry for someone else.
And as I said, the fact that he had to belittle himself to beg to be allowed to save them.
Yeah.
That's so horrible.
Mm. In the end, I mean, you just wish the entire population of that city being eaten by those big cats.
I like to think that's what happened.
As you said, entitled people spending a night out in the middle of the forest with no amenities.
No experience, no knowledge.
I will be surprised if they last the week.
There's going to be some burping large animals out there soon.
But to me, sort of Dot and Bubble is very indicative of what's happening today. Sort of people wrapped up in their social media.
Yeah, exactly.
I mean, in their bubbles, literally, because to me, it's just a futuristic version of somebody walking around with a mobile phone looking at Facebook or a TikTok or something like that, completely oblivious to the outside world.
I have to disagree. I am of the opinion it's always been like that. Remember when you used to say in the middle of the 80s, getting aboard the train and all you can see is a sea of newspapers.
And you had to sort of nudge people to sit down because they were just not aware and they had their newspapers out here. It hasn't changed.
We're just utilising something else.
The principle is the same. The technology just moved on.
And the technology, you know, is, as you said, there's just so much scope to lose yourself in there, whereas a newspaper, there was only so many times you could read it.
Well, yeah, to me, Dot and Bubble, it's just the same vacuous chit-chat
as you'd
find
And the fact, like we said, the fact that Ricky was the only one who thought, yeah, okay, I'll do this rubbish I've got to do, and then I'm going to go and read books and educate myself, and he's the one that gets murdered. Next. Boom.
My favourite of the season.
Why?
Love the idea of it, and the fact it centres on the Doctor so completely for so long, and the idea of him just literally being stuck on the spot is a whole new angle. Yeah. We had similar things like in Midnight, stuff like that, but it's not quite that extreme, where the Doctor only has his words and his intellect to save the day. He can't run around, which is so unlike what he usually does.
Yeah. Well, it kept this premise the same, but changed the situation and deliberately handicapped the main character. Yeah. Mm-hmm. But he still did what he did, still does what he does. Yeah.
He might as well have been in a box. Yeah. He could do nothing. He couldn't help Ruby. He couldn't help any of them.
No.
And as ever, he's almost manipulating other people to do what needs to be done to save the day.
Yeah.
Which is just more stark in this one.
Oh, yeah. It's the Doctor, but it's pulled back a few veils. Yeah.
Of course, this one was the, in case you'd managed to miss it, this was the straight in your face, this is the same woman, the ambulance.
Oh, yeah.
In case you'd missed all the subtle, the more subtle cameos.
Up until that point, the Doctor and Ruby had never really directly seen her. The only other time they were in the same room, I think, was Devil's Cord.
Yeah.
And when she's facing inwards, the Doctor's and Ruby are facing the other direction. They never saw each other.
Yeah, but she was Susan Twist, her name, which it's just such a deliberate casting.
One wonders if
it's deliberately... it's yet another red herring and sort of rubbing of the palms by her. But, she must have had an amazing time. A day's filming every now and then suddenly she's much more centre stage would stay there until the very end.
Yeah. It's difficult to find ways to praise this, but I agree with Adam. It was very good. I like this one a lot.
It's very Moffat-y in that it's so cleverly constructed to the story. Well, there's no beats in there which are redundant. It's all leading to the conclusion.
As you said, it did pull on for quite a few of Moffat, not Moffatisms, but certainly things that he has established in the past. The
Villengard,
the papal mainframe.
Yes, yeah.
And also, ironically, where is my daddy?
Oh, yeah, rather than where is my mummy? Are you my mummy?
Yeah.
Bit of a greatest hit serving
villain. Yeah.
And of course, this was the one where we met the actress who played the new companion.
Yeah.
Yes. And is she going to play the same character?
Yeah.
Or someone new.
Or someone
new. Because we haven't been told the new companion's name, have we?
I don't think so.
Not yet.
No, don't think so. Monday Flynn was her character in this, but I don't think we've got a name for whoever she's playing next season.
And she survived this. So.
Yeah. I don't think he's going to be going for something like Clara, i.e. a split off, because we've just
done that.
We've just had that, or a variation of that, with Susan Twist.
Yeah.
So whether it's going to be, like I said, Freema Agyeman, another character who just happens to look like
the Freema. Someone who stumbles onto all this like they used to do.
Also, it means he won't have to pay Moffat every time they use her.
yeah, that might be another.
This also had a hint of Silence in the Library with the guys who were turned into that phallic-looking tube. By the ambulance.
And the casual eyeball and ear.
Yeah, the dad was still able to help the little girl, even though he was dead.
Yeah, he was still there. So very much like a River, how River ended up.
Yeah.
Digital afterlife, yes. Yeah. He's big on that.
I think this was the first time that Ruby died, wasn't it? Well, she didn't technically die, did she?
I think she was revived.
She had a little bit of trouble. So.
Yeah,
definitely.
Yeah. I mean, she's not on Rory's scale.
Oh, no. But,
that's one for her.
So, sort of digressing, there's a wonderful Big Finish thing where you get this bad guy who's trying to destabilise the Doctor. So he shows him all his companions. So here's Rory, look, he's dead, it's his body. Here's Amy, look, she's dead, it's his body. Here's Rory, look, he's dead, it's his... And they're different bodies, but they're still all Rory. So, digressing.
73 yards. This would have been higher on my list, but it kind of stuck that it didn't explain why everyone was scared. I mean, it could be that they were seeing Sutek. I don't know, because Susan Twist is, like we said, a fragment, different fragments.
Yeah. Yes.
So perhaps that's what they were seeing. But I thought it was an absolutely wonderful episode, but the lack of payoff kind of pushed it down the list for me.
It's still number two for me.
It worked for me, and I think I've explained why it worked. And also, it does come back in Empire of Death, I think.
Certainly, the
distance.
William and the distance and some elements come back.
I think the distance between the TARDIS from of the in the in the memory TARDIS,
it was
Ruby knew. Oh, that's 73 yards.
Yeah, it's 73 yards. Yeah. So that's what it came back to me. It worked for me because the future Ruby was wrong. She wasn't there. She shouldn't been there. Shouldn't have been there. So she's wrong in some instinctive level.
So perhaps on a primal level.
On a primal level. It's like the Uncanny Valley, the almost faces that you get for computer graphics. Yeah. And it just doesn't look right, and you get an instinctive gut feeling that it's wrong.
So you take and you take that to the nth degree.
Yeah, it just cramped it up.
And
for
it
me,
makes
that's,
them run.
That's
yeah.
what the reason that was, why. It was just a primal hide brain of reaction of get out of there.
But, but if there'd been some sort of hint, see that I would have accepted. Mm. If there'd been some sort of hint that that's what it was, but it was just ignored.
Personally, I don't think so. That's what came across to me.
For me, sort of 73 is, it's an episode that's going to need a few viewers for me to appreciate it, because I mean, at the time I didn't realise sort of Shooting Gatwick had other sort of shooting commitments.
Yeah, yeah. Mm-hmm.
Sex Education.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. That's it. As I stated in a previous podcast, the premise of somebody being haunted by a future self.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. This, the man who haunted himself, Hammer House of Horror.
Yeah.
Yeah, but one thing that just sort of came into my mind was the reaction of the people in the pub. To me, it was almost open hostility towards Ruby. To me, that is very much like in The Slaughtered Lamb in an American Werewolf in London. Yeah.
But again,
don't like strangers around here.
Again, that worked for me. We're following Ruby. Ruby is the centre of this. This is all wrapped around Ruby. Yeah. And it's feeding off her feelings of abandonment and she's a foundling. She doesn't know who her mother is. Everyone's against her.
Yeah. Mm. It's just a bespoke hell.
Yeah, thank you. It's a bespoke hell for her.
It's just it's just paranoia. Perfectly normal.
Yeah. Devil's Cord.
Devil's Cord.
Now, camp.
Oh, definitely. Wonderfully. I would have rated this much higher, but I hated the dance at the end. And I understand that it fit, that music was coming back into the world. So
twist at the end, Susan Twist.
Yeah. And you mentioned about Doctor Who being an embarrassment in the 80s.
Yeah.
And I was feeling secondhand embarrassment even watching it.
I got to admit, yeah, I agree. It tapped into that vibe. It worked for me up to a point, i.e. the musical number. Wasn't sure, not necessarily kosher with the piano zebra crossing at the end. You know, that was maybe a little...
Reality was the sort of...
Yeah. For me, that may have been a little step too far. Yeah.
But I loved Jinx Monsoon. I loved that whole character, Maestro. It was just so freaking weird. But yeah. I really,
what
really
do you
didn't...
expect of someone who knows the Celestial Toy Maker?
Well, I really did enjoy Maestro.
Pennywise the Clown.
Yeah. Exactly. Yeah. It was just the dancing.
Yeah, but there again, I mean...
And the god-awful Beatles.
But there again, a lot of people have an instinctive fear of clowns.
Yeah.
I mean, how many people have an instinctive fear of drag artists? I mean...
Only people who vote Conservative or Republican, by the sounds of it.
Depends where you live.
Yeah, I wasn't a great fan of the musical bit at the end. It's fine, though. I wasn't cringy. I just wish it was a better tune.
Yeah.
I didn't find it...
Was that a Murray Gold?
Yeah, it was a Murray Gold creation. But
wasn't not particularly memorable or fun. It was just it's a bit of a shame.
Although I like the idea that the song Yellow Submarine is a leak through... from when the Beatles were doing things like My Dog. Because Yellow Submarine is bonkers.
Yeah.
There are aspects of it like... I also love the sonic screwdriver doing what it should do. The sonic vibration.
Being sonic.
But again, I found it a weak episode. Not for any particular reason.
It's definitely mid-table for me.
It struck me as strange being clumped right at the... You're using this to... debut this season.
Yeah.
Along with Space Babies.
If you're going to start with Space Babies, don't put this second. Put something else a bit more meaty.
Yeah, a bit stronger. Yeah.
I'd have rather seen this as the first episode than Space Babies, because at least it was really interesting. Rogue. Doctor Who does Bridgerton, as they basically admitted.
But without the sex.
At least on screen. Didn't quite get there, did they, the Doctor and Rogue?
No. I think... I have a few reservations about this one. I did mention them at the time.
Yeah, likewise.
Yeah, I just found this one dull.
Yeah.
That's the only reservation I had. I mean, as always, the costume department did themselves proud.
Oh, yeah.
It was excellent, absolutely excellent. And I loved the dances. I did like the three changelings and that. But I just overall found the episode dull.
Also, I think a shout-out should be given to the set department, because the balcony... that they were on.
Oh, yeah, it was observing. Fake.
It was fake.
They built it.
Yeah. It wasn't there.
We watched Unleashed with the most Welsh man in the world. Found that out.
Yeah.
But, Rogue himself, you know, of course, everyone's going, oh, is it Captain Jack? Is it? No, I don't think it is.
No.
Did you say the most Welsh man in the world?
Oh, yeah, the guy who presents Unleashed is Stefan Powell. He is the most Welsh man who's ever walked God's green earth. He's wonderful. And I had no problem with the Doctor smooching with Rogue.
I did have a problem to a point. There was one point where I was worried that he was going to kiss Rogue.
No, it had to be the other.
Yeah, I don't think he should be the kisser. He should always be the kissy.
Question, and this is, and I'm not being deliberately horrible here.
No.
In the TV movie, the Doctor kissed Grace. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Would you have had the same thought if Rogue had been female?
No. I will forgive the TV movie, because one, it's an American show.
Two, just regenerated.
It was controversial at the time.
Yeah, it was a kiss of enthusiasm, because he had just regenerated the first time and suddenly just remembered himself.
Yeah.
I still think I would Maybe not so much of a problem. I'll give you that. Maybe not so much of a problem. But I would have gone, no.
Yeah. No, yeah. I think
I will admit there is a certain part of my male heterosexualness that goes, that's not quite right.
Yeah.
But I think it should be the fact that he should always be...
The kissy.
Yeah.
It depends on context, too. Because the Doctor has kissed his companions in New Who.
Martha.
Martha and Rose in... Parting Ways. Yeah. But that was different. That was for a purpose.
Yeah.
To save their lives or whatever.
Yeah, that was an intention behind it.
Every other time it's been the companion kissing him.
Yeah. And this was just for Smoochie's sake.
Yeah.
He is a good-looking rogue, though.
Yeah. Yeah, I agree. It's somewhat dull story.
Yeah.
It's a bit of a shame given it's come from the people behind Loki season one.
Yeah. Mm. There is the interesting inclusion of classic Loki in it as well.
Oh, yes.
Richard E. Grant.
Richard E. Grant appears as a...
Oh, yes, in the hologram. String of faces.
Yeah. Hologram pickled in time.
Yeah.
I quite liked that bit because every time there's a face flashback, it's always clips from shows where everyone happens to be facing the camera.
Yeah.
This was much better having it circling.
I love the way they did it.
And apparently, frantically trying to spot them as they're going past.
And apparently he did get his photo taken specially for that, Richard E. Grant.
Because I got to admit, I didn't recognise him at first.
No, nor me.
I did wonder whether it was the Valyard. You know,
the Boatyard.
Okay. Crumbles, anything to say on Rogue?
Well, I must throw my hands up and sort of admit it. I haven't, sort of watched it all the way through yet. So.
All right, okay.
Burn the heretic!
Speak for yourself, really.
Okay, so that takes us to Legend of Ruby Sunday and Empire of Death.
Story of two parts.
We discussed before, we like everybody else in the known universe, we watched this at the cinema.
Mm-hmm.
And the first part, far, in my opinion, outclassed the second part.
Yes.
There was some
Country Mile.
Everything building up to this amazing climax, and it kind of petered out. It's like you're sort of smooching with someone and you're really, really getting there, and then your nan rings and it's kind of, okay.
Or they accidentally burp in your mouth.
One time.
I wouldn't pick up the phone.
But what if she needed you to do grocery shopping?
Yeah. I'd say I'll do it tomorrow.
But she's an old lady, Crumbly. She's an old lady.
She needs her dentures cleaned.
Can we get back to the point?
Oh, yes, sorry.
We digress.
I can't do them as two one story. I have to take them separately.
So, who was the burper and who was the burpee?
Crunchy was the burper. And he was the burpee.
Crunchy?
Yeah. She was giving his nose a good licking.
Mm-hmm.
He opened his mouth to say, "What are you doing?" And she burped in his mouth.
Aww.
Have you quite finished?
Food burp.
Meaty.
Oh, yes. Meaty. And she just licked her bum as well. So.
Oh, bless.
Anyway, you can't take this as one story. I love you.
That because my reaction to them are so different.
Yeah. Incredible build-up.
Yeah, The Legend of Ruby Sunday is a fantastic episode. The way it builds up and up and up, and you can get the tension cranking up.
Mm-hmm.
Empire of Death is wonderful until the announcements. As you said when you reviewed it, it's like opening the door and nothing's there.
Yeah. What would be better than this? Nothing.
Yeah.
Anything.
And half the problem is, it's the very beginning of the episode where Sutek wins.
Yeah.
He gets his wish. All life is extinguished.
Mm-hmm.
Then you've got another 50 minutes of, it's clearly going to be undone. How's it going to be undone? Oh, quite easily.
There again, I think the ending vindicates the sort of slump in the middle, though.
To my mind, it's the other way round. I think the solving of the Sutek problem is satisfactory for me. That is where the episode ends.
Agreed.
It's the resolution of Ruby's parentage that just lets the whole thing down. It just suddenly slumps.
That's a bit of a double whammy for me. Okay, you put a dog collar on him, you drag him through the time vortex, and suddenly he's all cured. Is that really...
That's no worse than the ending of Pyramids of Mars, though. Yeah.
No, but that wasn't the entire universe having just been destroyed. Yeah,
to me, so the scene where the Doctor is leaning out the TARDIS door as Sutek is being dragged through the vortex, he's shouting, "I am life." Yeah. So, to me, that was on a par with Christopher Eccleston staying sort of everyone lives.
Oh, yeah, it was a hell of a scene.
Oh, good grief, yeah.
I don't have a problem with that. I agree with you wholeheartedly. What drags the episode down for me is the... I know we've had vast cosmic ramifications, and we're now trying to bring it down to small and personal.
Yeah.
But the small and personal was a letdown. It just didn't work for me.
Yeah.
And that is what brings down the whole of the episode.
It's not the same as the small and personal in Father's Day.
No.
Which was still magnificent. Yeah. This is just, well, why does someone vaguely waving at a road sign for someone who in 30 years might sort of look at a piece of crackly old CCTV reason enough for Sutek not to be able to say who that woman was?
Yeah.
It's
like it's built on a Jenga pile and it's just supported by one brick.
Yeah.
Pull that brick, to my mind, the whole episode.
If they stopped the episode before the lead out, before the whole Ruby's mum stuff, I would have been a much stronger...
Yeah, it would have been a stronger episode for me.
Yeah, I don't mind the fact that she was a normal woman, but don't lead us through the entire series pretending that she's something more.
Yeah. She has a song in her. What's her name? What's the secret she's got?
To the point where even Sutek wants to know the answer.
Sutek.
Yeah. God of death.
This supreme being doesn't know.
Yeah. And there's absolutely no reason for it. Yeah. It's like... Yeah. Telling someone you're going to make the biggest chocolate cake in the world and then giving them a muffin with a chocolate button on top.
No. An oat muffin.
With a chocolate button on top. Yeah. So overall.
A bit of a mixed bag, I think.
Mixed bag, definitely.
Yeah.
I do think the freaking excellent outweighed the, oh, God.
I think so.
I think Shooty's outstanding.
Yes.
And Millie was also very, very good.
Yeah. I mean,
considering 73 yards was her first time as a leading lady.
Yeah.
And she was on her own.
It's her first time on the series and as a leading lady.
And as that character, too.
Yeah.
Very good, yeah. It's not the strongest season for me, but it's far from the weakest. It's probably middling. I think it's sort of... 50-50 excellent and okay episodes.
It's not the best, but I think it's been the best first season for a Doctor in quite some time, my opinion.
I remember when the show came back in 2005, having those embarrassments by proxy feelings when the Slitheenverse appeared.
Yes, yeah.
And the farting and that.
Yeah,
it just was excruciating. But now, not so much.
Yeah.
Okay, that was our roundup of Shooty's first season. And we'd love to know what you thought. So write to us via show
at staggeringstories.net.
Woohoo!
We have an audio quiz.
Oh, is this one we're actually going to be able to get? Because we were rubbish on the last one.
We're keeping a good chance to get these.
Okay.
So these are audio clips from the recent series of Doctor Who. Name the episode.
Oh,
the story.
Okay, right.
Do we have to do this politely or can we just yell?
Oh, up to you. How do you want to do it?
We're just yelling.
Does ooh, ooh, ooh count?
Ooh, ooh, ooh.
The funky gibbon.
The funky gibbon.
Are we ready?
Yes.
Yep.
Okay, first one.
Doctor!
Boom, 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 boom.
Over the sea to sky.
73 yards.
Doctor, is that you?
It was Boom. Yep, Doctor's trying to keep calm on the landmine. Number two, then.
And there. The planet is called Agua Santina.
Maybe a trickier one.
Mm. Oh, is that the end of 73 yards?
No.
Damn, I'm going to keep saying it until it's true.
So there's eight questions. 73
yards. One of them's going to be right, and it's going to be the one I don't answer. Dot and Bubble.
Dot and Bubble.
No.
Rogue.
No, think of when he might have been naming planets.
Oh. It's on the tip of your mind, isn't
it? Yes, it is.
Yeah.
I've forgotten all the other names of the episodes. Space Babies.
No.
Devil's Cord.
No.
The Legend of Ruby Sunday.
No.
Empire of Death.
Yes.
Yay! Oh, yeah, because he talked about planets and shit, where the Ood came from.
Yeah, this is the one, I think, where the Spoon Woman was.
Oh,
yeah. Yes. Number three.
What for? Food?
Food? What? What? Food? They're not tomatoes.
Oh, excuse me, there's a big hungry thing downstairs.
Space Babies.
Yeah.
Fist bump.
Yeah. Number four.
He's an idiot. Honestly, my mate Beck should tie him to a lamppost in his pants.
The funny things you say.
That's Rogue.
Tis Rogue. Yeah.
She's dancing with the girl, or before the girl turns into a total cow.
Bird, in this
that's
case, maybe.
One, yeah.
Right, number five.
I thought you were like office drones, but that's why you only work 2 hours a day.
Yep, dot and double.
Yep.
Two hours a day.
Yeah, if only. Number six.
I haven't got anything in for breakfast, but I can do yogurt and toast.
73 hours.
Don't let her cook, for God's sake.
Yeah, 73 hours.
And one of them was 73 hours.
Remind me never to go in that pub.
Number seven of 10. So there may be
a double.
A double.
I've given up on that copper and opted for a life of abstinence. And who is this young fellow when he's at all?
I'm the doctor.
Okay. I'm going to say that is the church on Ruby Road.
It is the church on Ruby Road, the Christmas special.
Because that was definitely Granny.
Cherry Sunday. Number eight.
This is the key. Oh, we are not just going to analyse this. Kate, do you have a time window?
Legend of Ruby Sunday.
Yeah.
No, Doctor, you said we could definitely not
have it. Yeah, 10 floors down. Yeah.
I think that final line would have given that to you. You might have tried to trouble before that. Okay, penultimate then.
Doctor!
I thought that was non-diegetic.
No.
Ooh. Play again.
Doctor!
I thought that was non-diegetic.
Is that also Space Babies?
No, there's a massive clue in what he says.
I didn't understand. I didn't hear what he said.
Is it Boom?
Boom.
No.
Play again.
Doctor!
I thought that was non-diegetic.
Thought it was non-diegetic.
Oh, Devil's Cord.
Yes.
Oh, yeah, she was getting sucked into the drum, wasn't she? For want
as you
of
do.
A better word.
And finally, then.
We can all die out there, and I can save your lives!
Yeah.
Now let me!
Yep, Dawson Bubble.
So sad. Horrible, horrible people.
Frustratingly sad.
Yes.
One thing I did like, and she's a very young actress.
Yeah.
She seemed worried that people would think she was really like that.
Yeah.
Get used to it, sweetie. You're going to have many more roles to come. She's we also won't think you're a psycho killer who eats babies.
Yeah. She's a superb actress because the look of contempt.
Totally.
I think she's about 31, isn't she? She's not that
She doesn't
young.
Look that old.
Yeah.
God.
Yeah, I think she's
I suppose she's got the straight hair. Well, thank you for that. Mm. We actually
not too
got
hard.
Those.
Yeah, wasn't too
the second
bad.
One was a bit awkward. Now I'm going to pass you over to Keith, who has what will turn into be a 5-minute recommendation rather than 30-second recommendation.
Lay it on us.
So, Keith, what are you recommending?
I am recommending the second season of Star Trek Prodigy, which is currently being shown on Netflix. All I have to say, actually, is watch it. But I can't tell you too much about it because fake Keith has just started watching season one. It has elevated the whole show upwards. It's not a kid's show. It is directed for adults, even though it is animated. Mm-hmm. I'm not saying that it shows sex and salacious. It is very much Star Trek. It is just the plots are interesting. There is lots of cameos and deep cut references if you're a fan. Mm-hmm. It's 20 episodes. They're only half an hour long, so you can binge watch something like 4 or 5 episodes a night. Mm. Watch it, because if enough people watch it, hopefully Netflix will commission a third series, which is what the directors and writers are hoping for. Yeah. Because Paramount have cancelled it.
Yeah. I've watched the first 2 episodes of the first season, and it really is very good.
Okay, thought it was billed as being aimed at kids.
Don't think so.
There is quite a few, as I said, there is quite a few deep cuts. What interests me is second season, we're trying to find Chakotay.
Okay.
Because he's gone.
His career and him have disappeared.
Yeah.
What I find interesting is the fact that they do get Robert Beltran back into it.
Okay.
And he does appear as Chakotay, considering, as he quite cheerfully admits, the last 3 seasons of Voyager, he was doing his best to get himself sacked.
Quitting or whatever you call it.
Yeah.
Quite quitting.
The holodock is in it.
Yep.
We get no run-up. He is the holodock. He doesn't get back into character. He is character. character.
Yeah.
From beginning of episode.
Yeah.
Hollow Janeway.
There is a
mug of coffee.
There is a Hollow Janeway that appears in the mostly in the first season. She does occasionally appear in the second season, which I do love. Is you have Hollow Janeway and Admiral Janeway in it.
To
get Catherine
Mulgrew.
To get Kate Mulgrew interested, they said, "We can give you a ship. We'll give you the Enterprise. You can have the flagship." To which point she turned around, "No, I don't want that. I only want one ship." So we now have the Voyager A.
Okay.
But yeah, if you're a Trek fan, this is fantastic. There's lots of references to the past, lots of deep cuts, but they're not essential to the plot line, and if you don't know, it doesn't matter.
Okay, all right.
Kids would enjoy it.
I think
Ben would like this.
Oh, yeah.
But it's not childish.
Okay.
I can give it a whirl. Oh. Yeah.
There is a very big rock creature in it.
A Bukir.
Terrifying voice.
Yeah. So we have a...
Shatner, wasn't it?
Does it sing?
We have a Medusan in it, which was a non-corporeal character who appeared in the original series.
Okay.
And we have a Brakiri, which has only appeared in...
B5, isn't it? Brakiri? Yeah.
Dave... Oh, God, what's his name? Well, only appeared in some of the books.
Oh, okay. Peter David?
Yeah, Peter David. Thank you.
And it's got a cetacean.
Second series, we have cetacean operations.
A whale.
It is a humpback whale. But what I do love...
Is it George or Gracie?
Gracie, actually.
Oh.
What I do love is the fact that we do have a... episode where they're hopping timelines, so inevitably we end up in the mirror universe briefly. But what I love is the whale has a dueling scar
because they thought it would be silly to put a beard on a whale.
Yeah.
Oh, what did you say the non-corporeal beings were?
Medusans.
They're very glittery, and shiny.
Oh. They appeared in a little box. The only way you can observe a Medusan is with the visor. Spock has to mind meld with him. He forgets his visor and goes.
Oh, good grief. What episode was that? The original series?
I can't remember the name of the episode, but I do.
Yeah, I know the one you're talking about,
Okay. That's a recommendation from him. What do you think? If you've already seen Prodigy, let us know what you think about it. Write to us via show.
At
watchitstaggeringstories.net. Watch it.
Enough now. Right. Some of you have been writing to us or sending us audio stuff.
Thank you.
First letter.
Shush now.
Thank you.
Is from Matt in Torquay.
Hello, Matt!
Hello, Staggerers. Hope that you are all well. I thought I'd better get in touch now the dust has settled on the last series of Doctor Who. There was only one episode that didn't wow me, and that was Space Babies. I was really concerned when I saw the opener to the series and did wonder what RTD was doing. I mean, it was okay, but a series opener? I should have had more faith, as the rest ranged from very good to outstanding. I think, looking back, 73 Yards was my favourite, as the sometimes disturbing imagery of the distant woman stayed with me for a long time.
Yeah.
It reminded me of the rather good horror film It Follows. Well worth a watch if you haven't.
Yeah.
I loved The Legend of Ruby Sunday, and it was the only episode that I wanted to immediately rewatch after first viewing, three times that week. The finale was great as well, but did suffer from trying to cram too much in. I think the spoon section could have been dropped completely, and it also could have done with being 15 minutes longer.
There is no spoon.
I really am fed up with some of the criticism that this series has had, especially from some of the more caustic Facebook groups.
Right.
The Doctor cries and is more emotional. Get over it. The character changes with each regeneration. It's ridiculous that Sutek had clung onto the TARDIS for this long. Really? Really? Is this really any more ridiculous than a show where the main character travels through time and space in a box that is bigger on the inside? Let's not even mention the concept of regeneration. Don't be daft. The ratings are abysmal. It's no longer about ratings, more about audience share. And this year, Who has performed brilliantly as far as audience share goes. Phew, rant over. So, thoughts on Threads that were left dangling. I definitely reckon that Mrs. Flood is the boss. She's hiding in plain sight. As to what she is, I don't know, but I am very intrigued. I also still think there might be some mysteries to resolve around Ruby.
Yeah. Perfect.
What else have I been doing? Well, at the cinema, I saw Quiet Place Day One. It was okay.
Yeah.
Not as good as the first two entries. I wanted to see more of that moment of invasion, but this was quite glossed over. Still, not a bad little film, though. also caught Sting, which was a fun horror film centred around an alien spider infesting an apartment building. The effects, for most part, were deliciously practical. I'd recommend it. Anyway, that's it from me. Keep staggering. Matt from Torquay.
Thank you, Matt. I haven't seen Sting, but I have seen the trailer.
We were looking at that, weren't we? Okay. That was a very big spider.
It was the fact that it was the spider that put us off.
I got a parking ticket in Torquay once.
Did you park incorrectly for too long?
No, myself and Fake Crumbly left the car in Torquay. We got the boat over to Brixham, and when we got back, I had a parking ticket.
That's poor showing, isn't it?
Yeah.
Did you appeal it?
No, I paid it.
Oh, well.
Torquay things aside, I think we may have forgotten something.
We have too. Oh, he's furious. And he's right next to Adam.
Yeah. What's he'll go first.
What's he got in his mouth? Ooh, no. Okay, 1, 2, 3.
Hello, Head of Pertwee.
Hello, Handles.
Inking squirt a lot.
Hey, Dave Zilla the Mighty.
Terrence. Graham. Dangerous Church.
Various nebulas.
Folded up and leant against the radiator,
orange,
Clara.
Orange glow of Clara.
Keeps him warm at night.
Absolutely, yes. And
anyway.
And we also have Adam Gonk.
Oh, yes.
Adam
Gonk.
Oh, throw Adam Gonk over. I haven't seen him. I'll have to bring Ninja Gonk next time so they can discuss.
He's a mystic.
Yeah. Where is he? Yeah, well, they kind of sewed the name Adam into your hat.
She's going to have half an hour conversation.
Yes.
Yeah. His name is not Adam. His name is Flam the Wonderful.
Flam the Wonderful.
Flam the Wonderful.
And he objects to having stars sewn into his hat as well.
But he looks mystical.
Yeah.
Wizard.
Oh, God.
Aim isn't to look mystical.
Okay, I'm sorry.
I'm going to throw you back to Adam now, okay? You will address him as Flam from now on.
Flim Flam.
I didn't realise he could fly.
Yeah.
Oh, all gonks can.
Magical gonk.
Have we got any more feedback?
We've got a couple of audio feedbacks.
Ooh.
I was going to ask, is Jean dead or... Has she just not bothered showing up? Jean, bless her little cotton socks, on the way home from the last podcast, decided to challenge a lorry to a fight.
She was successful.
She was successful. Everyone walked away, but her car's a bit dented.
It wears its scars with pride.
And she's getting it fixed and won't be getting a courtesy car for a couple of days, so she couldn't be here. Rumour has it that she might have sent some feedback.
She might have done. Let's see.
Lay it on
over in Dangerous
boy.
Driving Corner, we have Gene.
Top Gear.
Dangerous Driving Corner!
Hi. For various reasons that I've probably been introduced, either I've been killed off, abducted by aliens, or something else, I have been unable to make tonight's podcast. So this is going to be Riddler's Murmurings, I'm afraid.
Hi,
it's me, Gene. Overview of this last season.
Yeah.
Loved it.
Thanks, Matt.
I'm not going to stop there. I really enjoyed this. I did not completely watch all of the Flux season. Nothing to do with Jodie. It was really just... I just lost it with the story. I'd have to go back at some point and try it again. I think on this season, Space Babies, I'm not sure why they started with that one. It was, to my mind, the weakest of the season.
Yes. Yep.
And that seems to be quite a common comment amongst a lot of fans. Yep. And I can understand that some people may have looked at it and gone, well, if it's all going to be like that, am I going to stick with it? They should do, because if you're a fan, you should know by now, one story will not be the same as the next.
Yeah.
But I can kind of see where they're coming from. And the 4K or whatever it was and everything else, I found that a little bit jarring at the start, which I think I've mentioned. But I got over that pretty quickly. Devil's Called, I enjoyed. I've read the text of the cut-out scene, which would have made a lot more sense of what happened at the end. Yes, it's along the lines of what Karen was saying, that basically music came crashing back. But the Doctor actually narrated that and said why and that kind of stuff. And I think that would have just sat a little bit easier. But even without that, I thought it was a really interesting story. I thought it was well played out. It did leave questions that haven't been answered yet, but that's yet to come. Boom, I just thought, was an absolute lovely piece of acting. It was almost like a four-hander play. You know, it was confined to one place. You couldn't go anywhere. It was definitely dialogue-driven, and I do like dialogue-driven episodes. 73 Yards just showed off Millie's acting. Yeah. My God, if she's that good this already, how is she going to be when she's really developed her acting chops? That was her first story. She is on her own, and she's got the character. It was built. It was there. I also thought it was a very interesting and creepy story. And having watched it again from the perspective where Keith suggested that it's not so much that the doctor's gone out of time, that she's gone out of time, that does actually work a little bit better in watching it from my perspective. Dot and Bubble, what a challenging story. So well done. So easy some respects for some of us who are basically white to actually miss the underlying story until that real last end.
Yeah.
But I just thought this was so... It was an interesting story on a social level of society and people locking themselves off from reality and only interacting via their social medias, etc., i.e., as it's often said, living in your own bubble. And then you've got the whole racial aspect in there as well. And I just thought this was so, so cleverly handled. I liked the Barbie colours. I'm not a Barbie girl. Yeah. I don't live in a Barbie world. But I kind of like those muted pinks, that Valley of the Dolls Barbie look. I thought it really suited it.
Pastels.
Rogue. I really enjoyed this one. Okay, the aliens weren't that menacing. And I think a bit like Love and Monsters, it was a little bit of a dig at the cosplayers of us out there. I know there's been a lot of talk about, well, you know, the Doctor shouldn't make the first moves, etc. He's growing up. He's over 7 million years or whatever he's old by now. He's allowed to slog. I think the way they handled it, it doesn't, for me, give that feeling of, oh, well, there's now going to be hanky-panky and the TARDIS and the assistants are never safe, etc. I still got the feeling it was like, because this is an equal. This isn't someone who's looking at as an assistant or companion in that sense. This is somewhere almost like Captain Jack, and we know the character is very Captain Jack-like. This is, yeah, Captain Jack, this is a River Song. This is a grown-up adult who's been there, experienced space, and is not necessarily the Doctor's equal in that, you know, he's immortal and immense. But he's got that right, if you know, so to speak, to be involved with. It's not going to cause an issue in terms of people looking at the stories or the episodes and go, oh, well, that makes him a predator, that makes him unsafe in the TARDIS. You know, we know he had a crush on Rose, but there was no hanky-panky there, because if there was, he wouldn't have had to tell her he loved her. I would have thought she would have noticed. So I just thought it was a really good episode. I hope we see Rogue again. Maybe we don't. I don't know. It'd be quite interesting to what happens if we do see him again. The last two episodes, Legend of Ruby Sunday and Empire of Death. Loved that Sutek was back. Loved that Sutek was big Sutek, not little Sutek. Loved the fact that it had the original actor's voice. Loved the fact that it was a UNIT story. I like UNIT. And I really loved the first episode. The second one, I enjoyed. I think, yeah, we pretty much covered this before, but it didn't quite go out with the boom that I think the first episode set it up for.
No.
But it was enjoyable. Overall, I thought the series actually hang really, really well together. I liked the fact that you can watch these as individual stories. It's got the link, it's got the run-through of Susan with a twist. It's still got the fact that we're in the giggle and that side of stuff. But it's done in the way like Bad Wolf was to an extent, in that you could just watch one of these stories and that doesn't interfere with the story. That's how I like, personally, myself, Doctor Who, and I think that's why I lost it with Flux. It reminded me a bit of a chase, the chase. You know, you kind of have to watch all of it continuously, blah-de-blah.
Yeah.
Overall, I loved this season. It has changed again. Doctor Who has changed again. This Doctor Who is nothing like, but is the same as New Who when it started with Eccleston. Just as if you went to William Hartnell stuff and then you went to Tom Baker stuff or even Peter Davison, given how long there's been in that intervening time, those stories weren't the same as Hartnell. The programme has always evolved in different ways. Those of us that sit there going, oh, it's not like original Who, are watching through our teenage rose-coloured glasses. It is like Doctor Who. It's Doctor Who for the young people these day and age. And if our soul farts enjoy it as well, great. But it has always changed. It has always evolved. It has always moved on. I like what's happened with it. I'm thoroughly enjoying them. Tutti, as I say, he came on, he smiled, he's the Doctor. I warmed to him very, very quickly.
Yep.
And Millie is an absolutely blinding actress. With 73 yards, that was her first thing as Ruby, and the character was fully formed. She didn't have her lead, the Doctor, you know, Tutti there that much. And yet it's an astounding bit of acting. And if she, I say, if she's that good now... Overall, I really, really enjoyed it. Things like people saying, well, he's crying a lot. Well, yeah, maybe we have an emotional Doctor.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe like with Rory and Amy, when Amy forgot Rory, but she was still there at the subconscious. There might be something to do with the bioregeneration and that kind of stuff. And the crying is an emotional link that we've yet to explain. It can just be that Doctor's emotional. It could be either. I'd be happy with either. I think we are still in the giggle. I don't think normal service has been resumed, so to speak, that the toy maker and that whole universe and some of the bad guys have completely gone yet. There's still stuff with Ruby. We don't know who Ruby's father is. We don't know what the song is in her heart. She isn't the one that killed off Sutek. Is he the really big bad guy, or was he... a red herring? He's the ancient one, but is he the ancient one that the toy maker was talking about? I think the next series is going to be very interesting. I would like more of the same, please, Mr. RTD2. And yeah, thoroughly enjoyed it. Don't really have any nits to pick. Yeah, there's bits I'd like to have done differently. There's bits I would like in other ways, but then I don't make it, and they don't make it specifically for me. Hope you've all enjoyed the season as well. And I will sign off now. And courtesy car provided, or poor Winifred Bambera. Yes, my car is called Winifred. Returned with her side panel in one piece. I shall be at the next recording. Take care. Au revoir.
She talks a lot, doesn't she?
Once she gets started, yes.
Yeah, I think she got it pretty much right there.
Yeah.
I cannot argue with her statement.
I think the Doctor's just emotional. I don't think there's any reason for it. It's just sad things happen, and he's a 21st century guy and isn't afraid to cry.
Yeah, that's the way he wants to play it.
Yeah. Previous Doctors were boomers. They don't want to show their emotions because that's not the dumb thing.
Stiff upper lip.
This Doctor's Generation Z.
Yeah, it is amazing. There's quite so much hate out there for it. I don't understand why.
I don't know about you, but the only Doctor Who fan page I follow is on Facebook is Doctor Who fans who actually like the show. I just can't be bothered with the rest of them.
Yeah, I don't go to any groups who should have hate in them, but you still occasionally see somebody say something, they pre-ordered the box set, and somebody says, oh, I hate it, I'm not going to watch it ever again. Really?
Okay, my terms, as I've said many a time, that I just can't get my head round that statement. Okay, you can grow out of something. But why the anger? Why the hate? Why the hate watch?
Yeah.
You know, that just doesn't
make sense.
Don't
like it, don't watch
it. Life is too short to be sitting there moaning about stuff that you hate. Get on and find something you like. Go off and enjoy yourself.
Absolutely.
Any more feedback?
Yes, we have one here from the Dragon Maker.
Oh,
yay! Catherine! Woot, woot, woot.
Hello, Staggerers.
Hi.
Hello, Terrence. Hello, Dave Zilla the Mighty. And hello, Head of Pertwee. It has been a reasonably quiet couple of weeks here at Shea Dragon, albeit a hot one. The cat is very melty and has been shedding an amazing amount of fur.
Oh.
Meanwhile, production of Dragons continues apace for Penzic coming up at the end of the month, and the Maryland Renaissance Festival to follow. Whee!
She said Maryland.
I wanted to offer a quick correction. Additional information, really, to my last feedback. It was not a Doctor Who convention I was attending when we watched Empire of Death.
Oh.
Just a small fan-run convention to celebrate a particular YouTube stream. It's okay. The smallest convention I do by far, but always a good time and reasonably profitable as well.
Good.
On to feedback. A little jumbled, but here goes. One of the best comments I've heard about Empire of Death, and I don't remember where I heard it, was a missed opportunity. Ruby leashes Sutek and the Doctor attaches the other end of the lead to the console, he really should have shouted, "Walkies!" Oh well, still makes me laugh. Keith, I appreciate you delivering Sutek's gift of Karen. It's great to have her back, but I'm not going to say anything else, because each time I comment on someone being here,
they're not there.
Moving on. I really do hope they release this season on DVD, or Blu-ray if they must, over here. While I will continue to subscribe to Disney for the foreseeable future, I still feel better if I can own physical copies of my favorite shows.
Definitely.
I don't have a full collection of all Doctor Who, but I do own all of Modern Who on DVD.
Yeah.
Pyramids of Mars was one of my childhood favorite stories.
Oh, yeah.
To be honest, most of the Fourth Doctor stories with Sarah Jane were favorites.
Yeah.
It had just the right mix of humor and scary for me at the time, as did a number of the stories in that era. Really should have watched it last week. Mustache, there are dragons to be sewn and stuffed. Be well, my friends. Anon, Catherine the Dragon Maker.
Thank you, Catherine.
Thank you, Catherine.
Take care.
Yeah, it is. Yeah. Would be criminal if it's not released on disc.
God, yeah.
Elsewhere in the world, apart from here.
I said we've had this discussion before.
Yeah.
So I know it's being shown on Netflix, but there was Prodigy at a period you couldn't get anywhere.
Yeah, that is on disc, I think, isn't it?
At the time, it was cancelled. No.
Oh right, I think I have seen it in HMV.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, Star Trek's one of those cases like Doctor Who where they do tend to put it out.
Yeah.
So things like Stranger Things, you could, I think, buy some of the earlier seasons. In some markets, I think Germany, places like that, but generally you can't get all of it. It's a real shame because you have to subscribe to Netflix to rewatch it.
Umbrella Academy is the same.
Yeah.
Some of the Marvel TV series, I don't think you can get hold of.
They're starting to bring out some of them now.
They're starting, only
I just
now,
recently got Andor Season 1
that
turned up recently, but
Stranger Things reminds me, on their Instagram page, they put out a thing about being halfway through finishing Season 5.
There is a teaser out, not a trailer, a teaser out there somewhere.
That's a logo, is it? As the usual
trailers.
Yeah.
And also, I'd like to, as we're on to trailers, I'd like to point out the fourth and final season of Umbrella Academy is coming out in August.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Oh, yes. That's Netflix, isn't it?
That's Netflix.
Anyway, lead us out, Crumbly.
And so, dear listeners, that brings us to the end of another podcast.
Aww.
Thank God.
But never fear. In the next one, there'll be more of the same. More fun, frivolity and jollity. More news and reviews. More hool than you. So until that.
S for Sutek.
Starling.
Swooping seductively,
steamily
through Sunderland
or Stockport
or Swanage,
Swarfiga
in its beak comes sailing
swoodingly
towards us.
This is me, Crumbly, saying, be seeing you.
Farewell.
Goodbye.
I seem to have this terrible trouble with my lifestyle.
Yes, yes, you do. You have been listening to the Staggering Stories podcast, Series 1, number 450, featuring Adam Purcell, Andy Simpkins, fake Keith and the real Keith Dunn. The views expressed here are those of the speakers and don't necessarily represent those of the other speakers or the site. No copyright infringement is intended, and it's been an El Presidente production for www.staggeringstories.net.
No.
Vindaloo,
Vindaloo, Vindaloo.
Stop it.
Whoever thought of that as a football song that was be hung upside down and have the souls of
Vindaloo? I think it's general football song. No.
I was saying to Keith, when they're all lined up side by side and they're doing the national anthem and the camera goes along, this year's crop were brilliant. They upheld the not knowing your own national anthem and also not being able to sing very well. Not one of them could hold a tune.
In a bucket.
I was proud of them. And we thought up a cunning plan. Mm. Spain had the youngest player who's ever played in the Euros and who's ever scored in the Euros ever. Right. He was 16.
Really? Well,
17 on the day.
When he scored, he was 16.
Right.
He turned 17 in the final.
Okay.
We worked out, me and Keith, and it was a cunning plan, that if they could put the final back a couple of hours, so we kick off at like 11 o'clock, it would have been past his bedtime, so he wouldn't have been able to play. Nobody took it seriously.
No.
Witticisms.
I knew punching.
Don't worry, it's only a game.
That's the one thing. And I like you, and killing you would have been. Especially messy. As I did an article about how domestic violence increases when England don't perform well. Oh, the bitter irony.
It's a shame it's on so late on a Sunday. There's nowhere to go.
What?
Normally during an England match, everywhere's quiet. You can go out shopping.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Go to cinema or something.
8 o'clock on a Sunday. And it was on BBC and ITV.
Yeah.
Both barrels, huh?
Damn it, you all watch it!
That's why I had my tablet out.
You did.
Ooh, Keith, you're wearing glasses.
Yes.
They suit you.
Thank you.
They're his reading specs.
They're not like someone else who spent about 10 minutes laughing at me. It's not the 10 minutes laughing that I object to. Mm. It was the pee break in between.
You mean to say your wife had to take her ablutions, then come back and start mocking you
and
again?
Start, laugh, laugh, loo break, come back, laugh again.
It was unfortunate.
Well, at least you got to the loo in time.
Well, it was only over there, you know.
All right.
So Bucky's in the corner.
Unlike most women, I can aim.
Yeah.
Are your nipples wet? Oh, yes, they
are. Depends whether I've rubbed peanut butter in them or not.
Oh, God.
Or yoghurt. I've got space babies.
Sorry, you've got space babies at number one. Did you have it upside down?
Yes, I must have. Well, you said going in reverse order, so
yes,
I thought best.
No, your worst. We were starting with your worst and going up to your favourite.
Oh, bloody hell. Right, we'll have to do that again.
So. Crumbly got it wrong. Crumbly, would you read out? What is your least favourite?
No, I'm not going to.
I've got an audio quiz.
Is this one we'll actually get?
Yeah, they're pretty easy, generally.
Watch it.
That is going to bug me, yeah.
What?
The episode.
Yeah.
Easy looked up.
I'm looking it up now. Star Trek.
Original series.
Medusans.
Yes, now you mention it, I do remember that episode.
Not Spock's brain.
Not Spock's brain.
Is there in truth no beauty?
Ah.
Because it's also the one with, what's her name? Pulaski.
Oh, that's right, yeah.
She appears in the original series in that particular episode. Did I mention? Watch it. Due to a freak wormhole, this podcast will be repeated in 1954 on the British Home Service.
Beep, beep, beep.
This is the BBC. Now here's those chuckles and chaps and chappuses at staggeringstories.com.